Howard Moore, to order the Health and Human Services Omnibus Finance Bill Conference Committee. To give everybody a sort of a feel of our agenda for today, our plan is, first of all, to review a new article that we now have a side-by-side. That's Article 4 for the Senate, and that's long-term care and continuing care. Then we will go back to Articles 1 and 5 and have some discussion. We may even ask some people from various constituencies to help us. We've identified, I think, some sections that we may very well be able to adopt today. I would give instructions to staff, however, that in adopting language, keep track, we're not adopting money when we make those adoptions. So that would be just a matter of course here for all those things that we adopt, that we are not at all going to close on any money items at this point. So language only, and then we'll settle the monies in the future. Any questions? None. If our staff could begin then on review of Senate Article 4.
Mr. Chairman, members, we'll be working on the staff comparison document for Senate Article 4, House Article 5. First section is House-only Section 1. It provides a nursing home moratorium exception for two facilities, one in Columbia Heights and one in Anoka. Senate Section 1, Senate-only, allows two Duluth nursing facilities that received moratorium exceptions in 2002 to downsize their projects. Senate Section 2 extends the project approval for all nursing home moratorium projects approved by the Health Department between July 101 and June 30th, 03 for an additional 18 months, for a total of 36 months. And this is Senate only, but the House has individual extensions for three facilities in House Sections 2, 24, and 25 for various lengths of time. And on page 2, House Section 2 is one of those extensions. It's 24 months for a facility in Otter Tail County. Senate Section 3 is House only, or Senate only. It authorizes the replacement of a 6-bed ICFMR in Brown County. House Section 2, House only, requires reports at the end of 2005 and 2006 regarding how many days MA applications for certain persons are pending in the counties. House Section 3 requires the commissioner to reimburse enrollees in the MA EPD program for cost-effective Medicare Part B premiums regardless of income. And the current eligibility for that is 200% of poverty. Turning to page 3, House Section 4 is the long-term care partnership program. It's to try and finance long-term care through a combination of private insurance along with MA. And it's House only. There is a separate Senate file that's on the Senate floor right now.
Senator Bigelow?
Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Gill,
it
passed
the Senate. Oh, it did. Okay, when was that?
It was on the consent
calendar. Oh, okay.
We'll note that. We may be able to match those up.
And there are some significant policy differences between those two bills. That takes us to page 5. And Senate Sections 4, 5, and 6 are identical with House 5, 6, and 7. This relates to various case management issues. Senate Section 7 and House 8, again, relate to case management and service coordination providers. And there are some technical differences. And then the Senate has a paragraph C that the House does not have, that grants the state, the counties, and agencies acting on behalf of the counties immunity regarding client injuries due to services provided by private service coordination vendors. Senate 8 and 9 are identical to House 9 and 10. Again, they relate to service coordination providers and case management services. House 11 on page 6 is House only, requires the commissioner to execute a data use agreement with CMS to obtain long-term care minimum data set data to assist residents of nursing facilities who have indicated a desire to live in the community. Senate 10 is identical to House 12. It establishes an exception to the requirement that nursing care provided in a non-public hospital swing bed may only be reimbursed if the hospital qualifies as a sole community provider. Turning to page 7, Senate sections 11 through 16 on page 8 are Senate-only language, and they strengthen and modify the regulation of the PCA program. This results in a savings of $5 or $6 million for the biennium. Turning to page 8, Senate section 16, no similar house provision. I went over that already. On the House side, House sections 13 and 14 are House only, and they reduce eligibility for the alternative care program to people who would become eligible for MA within 120 days of admission to a nursing facility, and the current standard is 180 days. Then at the bottom of page 8, House only sections 16, 17 through 19, they extend and modify the Region 10 quality assurance system. That's House only language. On page 9, Senate section 17, House section 40, these are the changes in the mean language that was adopted in 2003. And the differences in the approaches are in the middle column there. The House makes the policy on the continuation of life estates and joint tenancies after death effective only for interests established on or after August 1 of 03. Excuse me. The Senate temporarily blocks MA liens on homesteads owned by joint tenants until the surviving joint tenant dies. The Senate also excludes certain family farms and businesses from lien continuation, effective for recipients who die on or after July 1 of 05. And the Senate exempts AC recipients from liens and claims effective, and that should say July 1 of 05, and all liens in effect on that date would be void. Senate sections 18 and 19 are conforming language for the lien changes. It takes us to page 10, and House only sections 3, 4, and 5 are conforming language that relate to the new nursing facility reimbursement system in the House bill. Senate section 20 and House section 6 are the nursing facility rate increases. The differences are that the Senate has 2% on 10105 and 2% on 7106. The House has 2.2% 10105, 1% 10106, plus a rider that raises these numbers to 2.2553% each year. The Senate devotes all of this new money to employee compensation. The House earmarks two-thirds. The Senate requires the facility to develop a plan for employee compensation prior to the release of the funds, and the House requires a report on its use after the funds are released. And the Senate allows hospital-attached facilities to count compensation increases after 7103 as part of the first-year expenditures. And the House allows all facilities to count these costs as part of the expenditures for both years. Turning to page 11, Senate-only Section 21 establishes a nursing facility bed closure incentive. A formula is established to increase facility operating payment rates for each bed closure that results in the creation of a single bed room. And MA rates for medically necessary single bed rooms are reduced slightly for 2 years to make this incentive budget neutral.
Mr. Chair, the next section is House Section 7, House only. This provides an increase in the operating payment rates for nursing homes in Stearns, Sherman, and Benton counties. Raises it to the 30th percentile of the Group 3 rate. The next sections are also House only, sections 8 to 12. They deal with the allocation of nursing home costs. Section 8 provides definitions. Section 9 provides that the provisions really related to allocating central, affiliated, or corporate costs also apply to facilities reimbursed under the alternative payment system and also the new nursing home system. Section 10 requires costs that are not directly identified to be allocated to facilities on the basis, on an equitable basis or on a functional basis where practical. Section 11 deals with the allocation of remaining costs. And Section 12 deals with the allocation of costs that are related to purchases from a related organization. Then moving to page 13, Section 13 is also house only, increases the term of contracts under the alternative payment system from one year to a term not to exceed 4 years. Then Section 22 of the Senate and House Section 14 deal with suspending the inflation adjustments for the alternative payment system for operating costs. The difference is that the House suspends the inflation adjustment for 3 additional years. The House also moves the effective date of the property rate adjustment to October 1st, and this is related to the new nursing facility reimbursement system. And finally, the House allows property rate adjustments for facilities under the alternative payment system. Sections 15 through 18 are conforming changes to the new nursing facility system. So we move to page 14. Senate Section 23 provides a rate increase for 180-bed first facility in Ramsey County. Then House-only Section 19. This requires facilities reimbursed under the alternative payment system to end their contractual agreement effective October 1st of 2009. Section 20 is also House-only. Effective October 1st of 06, eliminates property payment rates under the Rule 50 cost-based system. And Section 21, also House only, it provides that if new case mix indices are implemented with a new payment system, the requirement that rates be rebased in a budget-neutral manner does not apply. Then Senate Section 24, Senate only, it requires the department to continue developmental work on a new nursing home reimbursement system, requires a report to the legislature January 15, 2006. House Section 22 is the House language establishing the new system. Subdivision 1 is just the general terms of the system. It requires the rates to be determined using annual cost reports, specifies the total payment rate consisting of direct care services, support services, external fixed costs and property-related costs. Specifies that both the cost reporting year and the rate years will take effect on October 1st. It requires the commissioner to phase in the new system beginning October 1st, 2006, have a full phase in by October 1st of 2010. Subdivisions 2 through 42 define terms used. Then on page 16, subdivision 43, this subdivision specifies requirements for the reporting of statistical and cost information by nursing homes. Subdivision 44, page 17, requires the commissioner to calculate for each nursing home the per diem cost for direct care services. Subdivision 45 requires a calculation of the per diem for support services. Subdivision 46 deals with requires the commissioner to determine a quality score for each nursing home, and specifies that the quality measures are to be staff turnover, staff retention, use of pool staff, quality indicators from the minimum data sets, and survey deficiencies. Subdivision 47 requires the commission to provide recommendations to the legislature on the reimbursement methodology for the direct care service category. Subdivision 48, page 18 of the summary, specifies that the payment rate for support services is to be a fixed amount adjusted for peer group and geography, and it specifies the methodology used to calculate this payment rate. Subdivision 49 defines the quality add-on and provides that the maximum quality add-on is 3%. Subdivision 50 deals with the geographic adjustment for labor-related costs. And this is based on the economic development region. Subdivision 51 requires the commissioner to provide legislative committee chairs with information on adjusters for direct care and support service costs, and these must include the projected change in the consumer price index. On page 19, subdivision 52 specifies the methods the commissioners to use to calculate the payment rate for external fixed costs. Subdivision 53 specifies the timing and procedures for the phase-in of the new nursing home system. It requires the operating payment rate under the prior rate setting method to be the rate in effect on June 30th, 2006, and beginning October 1st, 2007 and 2008, the commissioner uses the amounts in effect the prior September 30th. The subdivision also specifies a phase-in for the system of blended rates. Beginning October 1st of 2006, 10% of the rate is determined in the new system, 90% under the old. October 1st, 2007, 40% under the new system, 60% under the old. And beginning in 2008, 70% under the new system, and 30% under the old system. And beginning October 1st of 2009, 100% of the rates determined under the new system. Paragraph J provides that for the first three rate years, if the rate that the facility would receive under the new system is less than their prior operating rate, they receive the prior operating rate. For the rate year beginning October 1st of 2009, it limits any, I guess, loss to the facility under the new system to $10 per day. For the rate years beginning on or after October 1st of 2010, it provides that a facility's rate is the rate determined under the new system. Subdivision 54 sets procedures for the commission to follow to do desk and field audits. Subdivision 55 establishes procedures for provider appeals and review of appeals. And Subdivision 56 requires the commissioner to determine interim payment rates for facilities. And then Section 23, it makes changes in cross-references related to the new system.
Mr. Chair and members, House Section 21 is a House-only section. This requires a transitional supports allowance to be available to all persons under a home and community-based waiver who are moving from a licensed setting to a community setting. It defines transitional supports allowance. It lists covered costs, and it makes the section effective upon federal approval and to the extent approved as a federal waiver amendment. Senate Section 25 and House Section 22 provide for ICFMR rate increases. The Senate has a 2% increase on October 1st plus 2% on July 1st of 2006. The House has a 2% increase each October 1st, plus a rider increasing increasing amounts to 2.2553 each October 1st. The Senate earmarks all of the increase for employee compensation, and the House devotes two-thirds of the increase for employee compensation. And the Senate requires a compensation plan prior to the release of funds, while the House requires a report on how the funds were spent. Senate Section 26 and House Section 23 provide for alternative integrated long-term care services for the elderly and disabled. Senate Paragraph E and House Paragraph G are identical. They make health plans responsible for certain care management services. The House-only Paragraph E authorizes DHS to approve PACE programs under certain conditions. And I believe there is a similar Senate file.
Excuse me, Senator Bergman has a question.
That Senate file passed the Senate floor yesterday.
Okay. And I'm sorry, Senator Bergman, that would be on what? The PACE? Okay.
And continuing on page 22, House-only paragraph F requires DHS to seek federal approval to expand the MINDO program in stages. On the bottom of page 22, House-only section 24 provides increases in MA reimbursement rates by 5% for the skilled nursing visit, physical therapy visit, occupational therapy visit, speech therapy visit, and home health aid visits. Senate section 27 and House Article 3, Section 77, are sections that relate to the MA lien. And I think there's just one small difference in cross-references in these sections. On page 24, Senate Section 28 and House Article 3, Section 78 also relate to the MA lien changes. And I believe that these are just conforming changes that were already discussed by Dave Giel a little bit earlier. Senate-only Section 29 deletes language added to the Uniform Probate Code in 2003 referencing MA estate claims for AC costs. House Article 3, Section 85 is a House-only provision that provides general provisions governing the change in effective date for life estate and joint tenancy interest provisions. Subdivision 1 specifies when a life estate or joint tenancy interest is established. Subdivision 2 defines medical assistance. And Subdivision 3 states that lien notices against life estate or joint tenancy interest established prior to August 1, 2003 end and become unenforceable upon the death of the life tenant or joint tenant and shall be disregarded by examiners of title and not carried forward. This section also has a retroactive effective date of August 1, 2003. Senate Section 30 and House Section 25 provide rate increases. The differences are a difference in the second year effective date. The House has a rider increasing the percentage to 2.2553%. The House does not include group residential housing supplemental service rate, adult mental health integrated funds, and living skills training for persons with epilepsy. And the Senate excludes PTOT, speech language therapy, and respiratory therapy. The Senate earmarks all for employee compensation, and the House sets aside two-thirds for employee compensation. And the Senate requires a compensation plan to be made available to employees, and the House requires a report on how funds are spent. Senate Section 31 and House Section 28 provide for a consumer-directed community supports exception. There are a variety of technical differences in these two sections, but the basic policy, I believe, is the same. On page 26, Senate Section 32 and House Section 39 provide that upon federal approval, costs associated with physical exercise or other physical activities be allowable expenses for adults under the CVCS option. And there are just technical differences in these sections. Senate Section 33, and House Section 30 provide a waiver amendment. This requires the commissioner to submit a waiver amendment to CMS consistent with the two sections that were just described. They're identical except the House adds an effective date. Senate Section 34 and House Section 31 provide for an independent evaluation and review of unallowable items under the CDCS option. There are just technical differences between these two sections. Senate Section 35 and House Article 3, Section 87 are also related to the MA liens. The Senate provides immunity for actions related to the AC program only, and the House language provides broader immunity. House Article 3, Section 86 on the top of page 27 is similar to Senate Paragraph B of Senate Section 35, I believe. And the House requires the Commissioner of Human Services and county agencies that have recovered MA or alternative care payments due to the continuation of life estate or joint tenancy interest in real property to refund those recoveries without interest. And the Senate Paragraph B states that legislative intent that no refunds be paid on AC liens and claims. Senate Section 36 is a Senate-only section. This requires all inspections at Faribault County nursing facilities to be conducted by MDH's Mankato survey team. Senate Section 37 is similar to House Section 28, Paragraph B. This makes an exception. This section expires on the date that a new CVCS budget methodology is implemented, and there are just technical differences between those. House Section 26 is a House-only section. This requires the commissioner to consult with ICFMR providers, advocates, counties, and consumer families to develop recommendations and legislation concerning future services provided to people now served in ICFMR facilities. House Section 27 is a House-only provision. This requires the commissioner to arrange for a study, including recommendations for statewide development and implementation of regional or local quality assurance models for disability services. Turning to page 28, House Section 32 is a House-only section. This requires the commissioner by August 1, 2005 to request any federal approval and plan amendments necessary to implement the transitional supports allowance and choice of case management service coordination provisions. House Section 33 is a House-only provision. This requires the Commissioner of Human Services to study access to dental services for persons with disabilities and present recommendations to the legislature by January 15, 2006. House Section 34 is a House-only provision. This requires the Department of Human Services, the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, and the Minnesota State Council on Disability to convene an interagency work group to make recommendations on specified topics relating to persons with disabilities who are attempting to relocate from or avoid placement in institutional settings. House Section 35 is a House-only section. This requires the Commissioner of Human Services, in consultation with specified parties, to report to the legislature by February 1, 2006 on the redesign of case management services. Senate Section 38 is a repealer, and it repeals several sections that were adopted in 2003 that established alternative care liens and procedures for enforcing them. The repealer states that as of July 1, 2005, all existing alternative care liens shall be of no force in effect and must be disregarded. There's no similar House provision. House Article 4, Sections 24 and 25 extend two projects, one in Aiken County and one in Renville County. These were mentioned by Mr. Giel earlier. And House Article 4, Section 26, requires the Commissioner of Human Services to provide recommendations to the legislature by December 15, 2006, defining criteria and rate negotiations for nursing facilities that provide specialized care or that have extenuating circumstances.
Thank you. Any other questions? Members will open their floors to Article 1. I think we'll just walk through and try to identify with Senator Berglund's help those sections that we think that we could reach some agreement today on. And the first of those would be Senate Section 1 and House Section 2. First of all, one of the differences was that in the House version there was subdivision 1, legislative findings and purpose, and the Senator has been very persuasive in suggesting to me that we don't really need that kind of language. So, Senator Berg, if you'd like to move, well, let's see now. Are we going to try to handle, I think we're going to try to ultimately recommend the House side with some changes as we go, so... Did that make sense to you? I think that's what we're doing because we were going to pick up the patient consent and a little bit of stakeholder.
Mr. Chairman,
on Section 1 of the Senate, I would move the House language deleting the purpose statement, the findings and purpose. Yes, I understand that. Language on right. The language on line 22 of the house, where it talks about patient consent requirements, we would move to amend that to patient privacy considerations. And then on the membership, we would accept the house addition of the Commissioner of Administration and the private purchasers.
And I think on line 36, 231.36, we would remove...
We would not accept line 36.
Let me see if I can recreate. Sandra Bergman would be moving the house position for section 2 and would be amending it, if we can do this all in one motion, if members are okay, and I'll try to review it.
Yeah.
Would be amending that motion by striking subdivision 1, which would be lines 231, let's see if I get this right, 231.3 through 231.10. I think that's correct. And then on lines 231.22, substituting the word privacy for the word consent. And then on lines 231.36 through 232.1 would be striking the words free market healthcare policy organization with an interest in medical privacy. I think that works because I think that will go and stakeholders.
Right.
Members all understand this this motion and amendments? Senator Lori.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just didn't quite get, you said on 231, line 22, I didn't find, did you mean line 23? No.
Senator Lori, where it says at the beginning of the sentence, patient consent requirements, that
yes.
would instead read patient privacy requirements.
Patient privacy considerations is what I'd written down?
Well, I think just patient privacy requirements. I think the only word that we're changing was consent.
Yeah, that's fine.
Members understand the motion?
Okay.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. That portion is adopted.
Okay, then I think the next area that we would be looking at would be in Senate Section 10. This deals with the Rural Pharmacy Planning and Transition Grant Program. The difference here is that the Senate is using the special pharmacy, special revenue fund from the Board of Pharmacy, and the House has fee increases to pay for the program. And I think, Mr. Chairman, you had suggested that we see if there is someone here from the Board of Pharmacy.
If there is someone here from the pharmacy that could represent our... What I'm prepared to do with testimony would be to accept the Senate version. There appeared to be sufficient funds in it, but if someone could please testify to that, if we act to that. Good afternoon. Welcome to the committee. If you introduce yourself, you begin.
Hi, I'm Abby Lopez. I'm with the Minnesota Pharmacists Association.
And the question is, if you're familiar with the Senate version, which I think paid for this out of the existing funds, enough extra there, we had actually raised, I think, fees slightly to do it. I'm prepared to accept the Senate version if their feeling is that the fund could handle it.
Yeah, our association would support that.
Thank you. And can you speak to the pharmacy board? I don't know if there's anybody here that represents that, but...
Chairman and members of the committee, I can't speak for the Board of Pharmacy, but I know they are members of committees for our association, and they have been supportive of this initiative from the very beginning. So.
And Senator Bergman, if I understand, right when this was presented in the Senate, that they were okay with it?
Right. Initially, we thought maybe they only had enough funds to cover it for the biennium, but then the testimony was no, they had enough ongoing funds to cover this activity out of their special revenue account.
Thank you.
Yeah, and also just to add, they had projected more fees and licensure monies to go into the fund in the future. So.
Thank you. Any question, members? Representative Eber?
Just to that point, and just to offer as a comment, that I know there's a fair amount of use of this throughout both bills. And I just want to caution members of both sides that these fees are fees collected by, paid by the licensees, and they're meant to cover the costs of the functions that they do. And the surpluses that they have aren't always exorbitant surpluses. They're actually covering possible liabilities like contested cases, et cetera. And so that even though there may be a balance showing, it may indeed be not as big as it may appear. So.
That's exactly why I thought it would be important to bring someone forward to be able to testify to that.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, if I can address that, the Board of Pharmacy was actually, the amount of money that they're able to use was capped by the governor, I believe, about 2 years ago. And that was where the excess money was going into the special revenue fund. So in terms of our members of our association, they were all very supportive, and the feeling was that this initiative helped pharmacy sustain pharmacy. As long as it wasn't increasing the licensure fees, there is a lot of support from the pharmacists of the state.
Thank you for your testimony. We have, if staff can help us, I see there's a couple of technical differences, too. Is there recommendations on that?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we would the two technical differences. One, we would take the House, and the other, we would take neither. It's just correct punctuation that neither of us got right, so it would be correct.
we'll incorporate your wisdom in the motion. How's that?
Great.
Senator Bergman, make a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Before I make the motion, just one more comment on this, and that is Representative Abler. If you look across the states, you'll see a lot of places where Ford special revenue funds are being used to help enhance the profession in various ways. So I think most of the boards feel like that would be preferable to simply having excess revenues in the special revenue fund captured into the general fund for maybe a purpose that would not be related to their organization.
Fair enough, Madam Chair.
With that, Mr. Chairman, I would move the Senate position on Section 10 with the addition of the House technical language suggested by the staff.
Senator Bergman moves adoption of Senate Section 10 with the recommendations from staff on technical changes. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
I
think the next
one is 22. On page 13.
13?
Wait a minute. No.
Thank you. I think Senate Section 22 is the one. We'll move to, if you want to page forward to Senate Section 22.
On page 16. Mr. Chairman, I would move the Senate language in Section 22.
Senator Bergen moves the Senate language on Section 22. I think this adds critical access to hospital language and I think does handle one specific area, which I'm prepared to accept. So any discussions to that motion?
I might, Mr. Chairman, just ask the staff. They have noted a technical difference.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, we would recommend the Senate on that.
All right, so my motion stands.
Any discussion to the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. You have a separate bill and outlier for that?
We do.
Yeah, do we know if they match up? We're looking at House Section 26. Oh, yeah. This has to do with the shaken infants section, and we don't have, because there's a separate, and I don't recall what the Senate file number is.
538.
And staff give us a kind of a summary of what kind of differences do we have between the House and Senate?
Mr. Chair and members,
right.
Senate File 538 adds language allowing the commissioner to provide the video in addition to hospitals to any interested individual at cost. And also under paragraph B of the Senate bill, the Senate requires that the patient's chart indicate whether the parents were offered an opportunity to view the video on shaken baby syndrome.
Yeah. I would be interested, we had a fairly extensive discussion on this charting thing that I made me a little nervous about being able to move forward today, but maybe as long as we're on the topic, if there's someone here from the Hospital Association that would be willing to give us testimony and advice. Mm-hmm. And as well, if the health, I think it would be health department, if the health department would have any comment after that. Mm-hmm. Ms. Bell, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members, as for the issue of the charting.
So please begin by introducing yourself for the record.
Sorry, my name is Susan Stout. I represent the Minnesota Hospital Association. On the issue of charting, the charting requirement is yet another requirement for the hospitals. I guess if we were given a choice, we would just as soon not have to add the charting piece in. The charting was an amendment that was added to accommodate the concerns of the advocates who wanted to be sure that people were offered the video. And they at first wanted to have the people sign a form saying that they got the video offered or they had an opportunity to see it. And there were some privacy concerns about that. So this was offered up as another option. If we had our druthers, we would not want to have to make a notation in the chart. We would pledge that we would show the video. I guess it's up to the committee if you feel like you need that extra assurance that we'll do it. We certainly would chart it. It's just another piece of paperwork for the nurse to do.
Well, I think the discussion that we had in committee was pretty much along those lines. I think the House would prefer not to add that additional requirement. And I'll ask the Senate, but maybe we can hear it. The other question then is the making it available to additional people that might be interested, which wouldn't be an issue probably for you, but I would at least ask the health department. I don't have a particular problem with that. Is there anyone here in the audience that would have a concern about accepting that part? I don't see anyone. I guess, Senator Burton, I think I would have to indicate that the House would prefer not to add the charting requirement, and we can just defer if you're not prepared to accept that. Otherwise,
Mr. Chair, in addition, thank you, Mr. Chair, and committee members. Part of the discussion also included the fact that if someone, you know, possibly had seen it ahead of time or did not see it and it was not charted, that in some cases, the county, if they were in a situation, might use that against them if there was an issue that did come up within the family. And they were concerned that that would be used as evidence, even though that it might not be evidence. That was a big concern also.
Thank you. Senator Burton, I think, I mean, I don't want to hold up on it, but I think if we were to try to do it today, the House would accept the others at cost and would prefer not to do the charting. We'll hold on this item. Senator Loy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to go back to the previous Section 22 that we'd adopted on the Senate side. And you remember, Senator Berglund, that Senator Scoy had asked if we would look at some other adjustments to this piece on the Senate floor. And by having accepted the Senate language, does that preclude us from, should the advocates on whose behalf Senator Scoy offered the amendment on the Senate floor come forward, does that preclude us from considering their concerns?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that having passed something, it's all subject to amendment. Now, I think, obviously, then it could make a difference as to whether or not one body or the other accepts that, but anything is open to amendments, even if we've adopted it.
Thank you, Mr.
Senator Wiggins, does that make sense to you?
Yes, but I would just caution you, Senator Lori, that this is a part of the bill that's been worked out pretty much with both the Hospital Association and the Nursing Home Association, so if you could make sure before you offer an amendment that you have it signed off by those parties, it would be helpful to the conference committee.
And Senator Berman, I would concur that this was pretty controversial when it came in, and probably both sides have some reservations about it, so it is a delicate balance.
Mr. Chairman, I agree that it's a delicate balance, but I did promise Senator Scoy that we would look at it in this conference committee if he would withdraw his amendment from the Senate floor. So as the people who've come together on this agreement, if they're listening out there, if they could talk one more time and see if, in fact, Senator Scoy's belief that one side of that agreement is, you know, pretty unhappy and felt forced, that we can still consider that if they can come to a different agreement. Does that make any sense? I'm just talking to them out there.
I was hoping as you were reaching a conclusion, you had already done your duty and would be moving on. But if you feel like you might want to look further, I think you heard some cautions from the chairs here.
Yes, it would have to be with an agreement.
Sure. Okay, let's move on. I think the next sections would be sections dealing with the voluntary trauma system, and this would begin on page 17 with the House section 27. And we have another case, I think, of kind of a purpose section. And I'm prepared to accept a motion from, well, I guess we don't need to do anything. We'll just accept the, we just won't adopt that one. I'm tangling myself up here. There's no reason to have to do anything. I just would acknowledge to the group that we will, the House will concede that House Section 27 not be adopted.
We're going to be we're going to be acting off of the House language on this set of sections, which will begin with section, it'd be Senate Section 23, House Section 28, and I believe that the motion is for sections 23 through 29 to accept the House language, except that I'm not sure whether the staff had a recommendation on 24, on section 24.
Mr. Chair, I believe that the House has the technical amendment in it that the department gave.
Yeah, I think that's the one about the Emergency Services Board.
All right, so I think then the motion is that we would be adopting all of the House language for all of those sections.
Senator Berglund will be moving adoption of House sections. These will be matching the Senate sections 23 through 29, but we'll be adopting House language in section House sections 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, and 34 as well. And Senator Berglund, if you're, let me make sure that we were clear to members. You did discover or discuss one, which was in House Section 29 about a technical amendment. In Section 30, the House was reminded that we can't actually control helicopters and other things, so that's why it limits it to ground transportation, or ground ambulances only. That's House Section 30. That's fairly technical. In House Section 34, with there being public safety representation already on the Emergency Services Board, it was felt that that was adequate and it wasn't necessary to have a specific representative. And I believe that's the entire section. Any questions to this motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
I think the next one, Mr. Chairman, would be Senate Section 30 on page 29. There were only technical differences, and we were going to ask the staff if they had a suggestion.
Mr. Chair of the Senate.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would move adoption of Senate Section 30.
Senator Berglund moves adoption of Senate Section 30. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
Next, if we can move to Senate Section 33.
32? I believe it's part of that comma.
Okay. Section 32. No?
There's technical differences only on that one.
Oh, okay. Section 32 deals with the trauma system. It's just not It's just out of order a little bit here. And there are technical differences. Does the staff have a suggestion?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, there is another change that the House requires these guidelines to be established by July 1 of 2009, which the Senate doesn't have. And then there are two technical differences, one we would take the House and one we take the Senate.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure why we have a date in here.
President Paul, do you recall on that one?
Mr. Chairman, I believe somebody from the department can walk down here and explain it.
Okay. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself.
I'm Tim Held with the Department of Health. And Mr. Chair and members, this section deals with the EMS Regulatory Board's statute. They needed a change in their statute to have the authority to for the ambulance services to adopt their transport and triage protocols. And this requires that that be done by the date stated here. It's 4 years and 2009. So this just makes it clear when the ambulance services have to comply with having written transport protocols.
Okay, well, I would move the House language then with the technical recommendations of the staff. And members, just so we're clear, we're only adopting the language here, and there'll be a number of items that will do that. We're not adopting either the funding or the method of funding.
Senator Berglund moves adoption of House language on House Section 38 with the technical changes as recommended by staff. Understand that motion? No discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
Okay, then moving to Senate Section 33. This was the postpartum depression. And there were technical differences. If staff is recommending the Senate, so I would move the Senate language on Section 33.
Senator Berger moves adoption of Senate Section 33. Any discussion? And none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
Then if we can turn to House Section 50. And I think it'd be appropriate for the House just to give us an explanation a little bit on this item.
Certainly, that's fair. Senator Berglund and members, this came from, I believe, Representative Marty Seifert. He had a case where somebody had some problems with the reviews when all that had happened really was a change in ownership and felt as though that there ought not to be any... let's see, what is it? That they shouldn't be required to acquire some kind of new equipment just because ownership has changed. So it was as simple as that.
And it is the Senate understanding that this provision is acceptable to the Department of Health?
Mr. Chair, Doug Stang, Department of Health, we have no problem with this provision.
So I would move adoption of the House provision.
Senator Berglund moves adoption of House Section 50. Any further discussion?
If I could just throw this out for, you know, we're all here really concerned about health, and, you know, because of some of the fees that we're talking about increasing, a constituent of mine called and said I could maybe afford the fees if I could get rid of this huge extra amount of money I have to pay for spatulas and for toasters that have a certain code on them. Does anybody know about that? There's a certain code. Instead of using a spatula from a store we all buy our spatulas from that we can pay $4 for, restaurants have to pay $20 for the spatula, and it has this code on it. Instead of buying a toaster like we would buy from any store for $30, they have to pay $120 for a toaster. Have any of us heard about this before?
Saint Laurie, if I said no, then we'll be all done and we move on. I don't know the answer.
This is just late breaking for me, and I didn't. I'm sure stores aren't selling us toasters that would burn up in our houses. So why do they have to spend so much money on this other?
Senator Bergman.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Laurie, I suggest you have a discussion with the Department of Health after our conference committee is over today about that.
But I just thought it's a good time to let us all know about it. Here we are.
Senator Bergman, do you have any more?
Next would be Senate Section 53.
Did we not vote on the last? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
The motion on section, House Section 50 is still pending.
We got so intrigued with looking at spatulas, I lost track.
Thank you.
The motion before us is the motion by Senator Bergman to adopt House Section 50. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. And Senator Bergman, I think you were suggesting looking at Senate Section 53.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Section 53 was part of the swing bed bill in the Senate and would have the study done by the Department of Health. I believe all the parties that have worked on this would like to have this study done, and so the department has indicated it's not a lot of work for them to do it, so I would move adoption of Senate Section 53.
Senator Bergman moves adoption of Senate Section 53, and if I can just, by a nodded head, now acknowledge the Senate, the Health Department has indicated that this would not have an additional cost. I see an affirmative to that.
Is that one of the free ones?
No, it's not. It's an interesting world.
It's not considered a full study. Just kind of giving people a little bit of data they collect anyway.
Members understand the motion? That is the adoption of Senate Section 53. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
And I think we can turn to Section 55. This has some technical differences. The staff is recommending the Senate language, so I would move adoption of Senate Section 55.
Senator Bergman moves adoption of Senate Section 55. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. I believe that completes the items that we can do for today and Article 1. I think we had done some work also in Article 5. Is that correct, Senator?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you members can move to Article 5, and we'll try to do a few sections in there as well.
Members, if you can turn to Article 5, Sections 8 through 10. Again, these are money items, and we're only going to be working on language. We've not agreed to accept the item in terms of the money, but at least if we accept it, if we can, as much as possible, give the staff an idea of what the drafting would be, that's helpful. So these are identical, and I would move sections 8 through 10 of the Senate language.
Senate Bergen moves Senate sections 8 through 10 in Article 5. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
Then if you look at section 13, this language is identical. I would move adoption of Senate section 13.
Senator Bergen moves adoption of Senate section 13. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
The next is Senate sections 14 and 16. I would move adoption of the Senate language. These are identical.
Senator Bergen moves adoption of sections 14 and 16 of Article 5. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
Then section 15 is identical. I would move adoption of Senate section 15.
Senator Bergen moves adoption of Senate section 15. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
And then on section 17, I would move that we accept the Senate language, but we hold on the effective date.
Senator Bergen moves adoption of Senate section 17 with the exception of the effective date, and I think that what that implied to staff is that we'll have to remind ourselves to come back. I think part of that has to do with the health match being ready, so I understand that motion, members. Without, except for that, we're identical, so all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
And then, members, if you can turn to section 19. This section, the language is identical. I would move adoption of the language in section 19.
Senator Bergen moves adoption of Senate section 19. Any discussion of that? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
And now if you can turn to section 21, this language also is identical. I would move adoption of section 21.
Senator Bergen moves adoption of section 21. I moved a little bit fast through, members. If you look at it, I think 19 was the general assistance medical care, telemedicine application, and some of the psychiatric care, and section 21 is doing the same thing in Minnesota care. Any discussion of the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Opposed? And motion prevails. And members, I believe that concludes what work we can accomplish today, and perhaps Senator Bergen can give us a little bit of an outlook since you'll have the gavel now moving into the next few days.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. There will not be a conference committee tomorrow. Apparently the Senate expects the floor session to go pretty long. We will not be having a session of a conference committee meeting over the weekend. Representative Bradley and I intend to do some work to help the committee be ready for Monday. I'm not exactly sure, and neither is Representative Bradley, sure of what the floor schedule looks like for either one of us on Monday, so we will be conferring about that tomorrow and announcing the time of the conference committee that we would expect to have on Monday.
With that, I think we've completed our business for the day.
Have a nice weekend.
Good weekend. Good journey.